We welcome you to a special service this week. Calvary celebrated our homecoming service. Pastor Randy talks about the greatest homecoming, Christ's second coming, at which the first resurrection of the dead, or rapture, will take place. Paul reminds the Thessalonians that the final outcome of faith will be an eternal union with Jesus Christ for the faithful from every generation. We now join Pastor Randy.
Have you ever been homesick? When I was growing up, I often left home for short periods of time. It started when I was a Boy Scout and I went away for my first week of summer camp at Camp Baby Crockett. That's a real camp now. You know, Baby Crockett grew up 15 minutes from my house. I'm not lying, his birthplace is there, just saying. Later, after I earned my Eagle Scout, I worked at Boy Scout camp 8 weeks each summer for about 4 different summers. And during those times away, I was never really homesick. Even after I graduated high school and I went to college in Cincinnati, that was 6 hours from home, without a car, I didn't know anybody. I was living in a high-rise dorm 2 miles from downtown Cincinnati, and the population of the school was 36,000 people. Everyone there spoke in a strange accent. Except for me and my roommate, who happened to be from Kentucky. He and I were the only ones in Cincinnati that spoke the English language correctly. But you know, even in a land as foreign as Cincinnati, I never really was homesick. I was homesick because I knew I'd be back. I would be back at Thanksgiving, again at Christmas. I knew I wouldn't miss any of the family gatherings at the table. Well, by the time I finished my freshman year of college, I had decided that college wasn't for me, so I did what any sane person does with a full tuition scholarship. I quit and enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. Good move. And you know, at first, I didn't get homesick there either. Until I realized that I wouldn't be home to see my family for Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or New Year, or my birthday. I became homesick when I realized I couldn't go home. I couldn't see the people I loved. I couldn't go to my mamaw's house, which is Southern Appalachian for grandmother. I couldn't go to my mamaw's house for any of the large Bennett gatherings. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I spoke briefly about those. I don't know if you remember, I said I never graduated to the adult table. Even when I became an adult, even after I was married, I never got a seat at that table. It didn't matter though, because I was home among family. And besides, the whole house became a table. There we traded Appalachian anecdotes over deviled eggs, soup beans and cornbread, 4 different types of meat, taters, gravy, 38 different side dishes, 12 desserts, and every sugary drink you can imagine, from Mountain Dew to sweet tea. And if it was warm outside at all, then there was homemade ice cream to boot, which might explain my size. I remember riding my parents when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, riding, like back in the 90s, we had things like pen and paper, envelope and stamp. I wrote that, and I asked them to take a picture of the deviled eggs at Thanksgiving and send it to me. Now, you might ask, why deviled eggs? Because they're my favorite. I eat them like popcorn. I love deviled eggs. In fact, my wife has set a limit on how many I'm allowed to have on one day. After all, she's got to go to sleep with me. If that was too much information, just wait. A week later, this is the picture I received in the mail. was much younger. My father decided that it wasn't enough just to send me a picture of the deviled eggs. Instead, he chose to model his pleasure while eating that which I could not have. And while some of you might think that's a bit warped, in the world of Bennett's, that's just plain funny. Because we're all warped. Here's the thing about this picture. I looked at it every day. Every day for months. From the time I received this picture until I came home. It kept me going. It reminded me why I was doing what I was doing. And it also reminded me that one day in the future, not sure when, I would see my family again. At that table that took over every room in a humble three-bedroom house on Gravelly Road in northern Sullivan County, Tennessee. It was the promise of the table that kept me going, especially when I was homesick. Thankfully, that one day came and I came home. And while home was not quite the way I had left it, is it ever? It was still home, complete with gatherings around the table and deviled eggs. Well, since I didn't have anything else better to do, I thought I'd enroll in college again. This time I stayed. While I was there, I met Amy. And after a few months of dating, I convinced her that she couldn't live without me. Yeah. I'm still right. Two years later, we were married. And then, in August of 2002, Amy and I moved to York, Pennsylvania. We responded to God's call in our lives, and we accepted a position at Zion United Methodist Church on Carlisle Avenue. We were young, once again in a foreign land. People talking funny again. You pronounce lying pastor, Lancaster. And you say things like, would you like a drink of water? They do that in York County, maybe not here at all. God's people took care of us. They always do. Now, I remember telling Amy, don't worry. We'll only be here for about 3 years. Long enough for me to get some experience, then we'll move back to the South. Now, friends, I don't know if you can do math. I can barely do it. But that was 20 years ago this month. 20 years ago, I said we'll only be here 3. Now, our oldest daughter, Madison, is moving into her dorm room this Friday at Lebanon Valley so that she can be there for band camp. Apparently, 3 years became 20 to life. Two weeks, I hear you, I don't know what you're saying, but because you're on my backside, and that's a blessing.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Oh, speak for myself. Y'all know she's a therapist. 2 weeks after we moved to York, 20 years ago, 2 weeks after we moved, my mama died. And with her, the Bennett family gatherings. And for me, that's when the homesickness set in. And I've been homesick every day since. Do I miss the mountains, sweet tea, and so much more? Sure. But that's not why I'm homesick. Because the longer I walk with Jesus, the longer I live, the more people I love. And the more people I love, the more people I miss. Either because they've gone on to be with Jesus, or we've moved again because of pastoral ministry. You know, the bishop says go, we go. And so whether I'm back home in the mountain south or I'm at home in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, I'm always homesick. I'm always homesick because the longer I live, the more I realize that the home that I'm longing for is not a location, but a homecoming, where people and location are united, where everyone we have ever loved, those who are living and those who have died, are all reunited around the same table, Jesus' table, forever and ever. Before the cross, before the grave, and before the empty tomb, Jesus set a table. And on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks to his Father. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take it, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When they had finished, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to his Father. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my cup, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me." And so for the last 2,000 years, we've been gathering at this table. Jesus set this eternal table and he offered the invitation to everyone. And one of the most beautiful aspects of the table is all the people who are seated at this table with Jesus that we can't see right now, but are nonetheless here with us in this room every time we gather at the table. Talk about a holy mystery. We say Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, absolutely. But through the Holy Spirit, Christ, the ever-present God with us, is here at the table. A table so big that it spans eternity and intersects with us in the present. I don't know who you are missing today, but I know we're gathered at the table. Because this table is Jesus' table. Whether it's in this room, the church up the street, or in your homes right now, as you join us by a live stream or later. And I know my family that's going on to be with the Lord, they're seated at this table. But I also know that the people I love who are still on this earth are at the table. So when I miss my parents, who will watch this sermon today, or when I miss Amy's family, or other dear friends and family, previous congregations, I remember the table. And when I think about my firstborn going off to college, even when I can't see her, I know that we'll be gathered at the table of Jesus again. And so when there are wars and rumors of wars, when there is unrest and violence, hatred, illness, heartache, loneliness, and anything else that you can think of, the promise of the table and the promise of a future homecoming gives me hope, even when hope sometimes feels absent. I want to share with you one of my favorite passages of Scripture today, which reminds me of the promise of the greatest homecoming ever. It's from 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who've fallen asleep or grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. We believe Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Now, I don't know about you, but I need the encouragement of these words. I need to be reminded on Calvary's homecoming Sunday that the greatest homecoming ever is nearly upon us. You know, the church at Thessalonica, to whom these words were written, They were a herded congregation. The world was much like it was then, like it is now. It was a turbulent mess. And that church was under persecution. And many of their members were dying. Scared and grieving the loss of loved ones, the church needed to know that a day was coming when everyone would be reunited. And I love what Paul writes here. The Greek word for "with a loud command" in the kenusma, it literally means charge! That Jesus is so excited for the greatest homecoming ever to take place that he shouts, charge! That the archangels join him, that the trumpet blast and that table that spanning eternity becomes visible forever, here and now, gives me the hope I need to keep pressing on, because that will be the greatest homecoming ever. When Jesus returns, and there's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. And while I don't know what they call deviled eggs in heaven, I'm sure whatever they are, they're out of this world. For now, when we are homesick, when we miss the ones we love, we have the presence at the table, the promise of a return, and the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us from table to table. So on this homecoming Sunday, I encourage you with these words. The greatest homecoming ever is soon to take place, but until then, we have the presence at the table to sustain us.
We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA, 17109. God bless.